I want to talk to you a little bit about the desire of your heart. What is the desire of your heart? What do you really want? And the reason I pulled out the Old Testament there, I want you to turn with me in page 400, Psalms 37. If you have your own Bible, it's Psalms 37. And we'll get in the New Testament here in a minute. But I want to lay some groundwork here on a scripture that I guess you'd say that I took off and run with when I stumbled upon it. That's page 400 in that black Bible I handed out, Psalms 37. We're going to read the first four verses or so there. And especially verse 4, we want to talk about a little bit tonight. Verse 4. But let's start it at verse 1 at the beginning. I guess it's a good place to start, isn't it? Have you found it? Psalms 37. Page 400, down at the bottom of the page, we'll start at chapter 37. It says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither like the green herb." How many times have we, as Christians, remember now, we're going to talk about the desire of our heart. What is the real desire of our heart? What do you really, really want out of life? How many times has we as Christians looked at, shall we say, evil people in the world? I don't mean to be critical, but you know, somebody's not living for God, but they're prospering financially. And you look at them almost envious of their stuff. Okay? And I'm talking about me too, okay? Sometimes we'll look at them and say, "Boy, I wish I had that." But you know what? They look at you and say, "I wish I had that." They may not admit it. But unless they have peace in their heart, they're extremely miserable. In fact, I was asked one time, and the people on tape get tired of hearing this, but I love to share it. I was asked by a wealthy person one time. He called me Rev, as in R-E-V, I guess. R-E-V means reverse to me. But anyway, he said, "Rev, how come you're so happy all the time?" I said, "I got something in my heart that your money can't buy." But I said, "You can have both if you had your priorities straight. God doesn't need your money. He doesn't need my money. I don't give to the Lord's work. I don't tithe because God needs it." Come on in. "I don't tithe because God needs my money. He owns the whole universe." Amen. Everything's His. What is Psalms 24, 27, 1, one of them says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything is His. He don't need me. I need Him. So it says here in Psalms 37 that we shouldn't fret about evildoers. We shouldn't be envious of people. Why? In verse 2 it tells us, "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herbs." In other words, their moment of glory is short. I talked to a young man here tonight, and we're at Petro Truck Stop in Atlanta, for those on tape. I talked to a young man. He saw me handing out the flyers at doors I handed to some of you. And he said, "Are you a preacher, man?" I said, "Well, yeah, I'm a chaplain." And he said, "I used to be a preacher." I thought, "Oh boy." And I just stood there and listened as he told me why he wasn't preaching now. And it evolved around money. Okay? I wanted stuff. And I'm paraphrasing. He talked for about 15 minutes to say what I wanted was stuff. He thought he couldn't have both. Can't have nice things and be a Christian, he thought. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that. I was taught that as a child, though. I was. And I came to the same conclusion that this young man did early in my life, is I thought that you could either have real nice things, which we didn't have none of coming up, okay? My daddy died when I was 3. My mama raised 6 boys with a 3rd grade education. We were literal cotton pickers. When people use that slang, you get close to my heart. No. I'm glad I don't have to pick cotton no more. But Mom raised us in church. Now, no church is perfect. Amen? No ministry is perfect. No minister is perfect. But then, neither are you. Right? Nobody is. We all got our faults. Anyway, having said that, I was raised in a very, very poor environment. Poor town, poor people. You know what I'm saying? Anybody know any place like that? Well, it's easy to preach a poor gospel. In other words, nobody dare trust God for much because nobody ever had. Nobody ever had nothing. You know what I'm saying? You get in that mental state. Anyway, growing up, the desire of my heart was to have something better. Nothing wrong with that, right? Nothing wrong with that. And so my life began to come unglued, actually, because I started chasing stuff, money, wealth, whatever. And Satan blessed me for a while. Oh, yeah. Satan will bless you. But the trouble with his blessing is it's short. And it's got a catch to it. That's right. And I'll guarantee you it'll fail every time. And there's never any peace. And that's what this young man, when he got through tonight talking to me, I said, "You're miserable, aren't you?" "No, no, no. Let me back up." I said, "Did God call you to preach?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Then you're miserable, aren't you?" And he thought for a minute. He said, "How'd you know that?" Duh. You're not serving God. Nobody, including who's listening on tape, sitting in here, or anybody else, if you're not serving the Lord, if you're not living for God, you don't know what peace is. And I'm standing before you as a human being that's got plenty of problems in my life. It's not like when you get saved, you get in a bubble and just float above everything. That ain't going to happen, right? We have the same complications. I used to say the old truck I owned had a 318 Detroit in it. Anybody here old enough to remember them? If it don't use oil, bore a hole in it, you know. So mine used it, slung oil just like everybody else's, right? It didn't know that it was supposed to be a Christian truck. It wasn't. It supported Shell Rotella tea a lot, or whatever it was I was putting in it then. In other words, those things, I get just as cold as anybody else when I walk out there. Amen? That's laws of nature. But I'm also promised in the Word, though, if I keep my focus on God and live according to the Word of God, He will protect me from the dangers of all that. Now, how many knows if I walk out there tonight in this cold rain and stand out there with these short sleeves on and it rains on me for a while, how many knows I can get the flu like anybody else? That'd be pretty stupid to eat, really, wouldn't it? But I mean, you know, just a crazy thing. That'd be tempting God, would it not? Even though I know that God promised me healing in His Word, I've got to use a little sense. Anyway, what is the desire of my heart should be, let's go down another verse or two. Verse 3 in Psalms 37. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shall thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Now, verse 4 is what we want here tonight. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He'll do what? Give you the desires of your heart. What version you got, brother? Is that King James?
Yeah.
Same thing then, right? All right, I was just going to check for possible different wording, but yeah, I believe you'll find all the versions say, if you delight yourself in the Lord, He'll give you the desires of your heart. Now, after I became a Christian, still had money on my brain, okay? And that side didn't get saved right away. I still wanted the stuff. But I stumbled across this scripture one day, and I say stumbled across it, but see, the only thing I read was that last sentence. Give you the desires of your heart. And the desires of my heart then was a bigger house, bigger car, more money. Okay? However, in God, again, when you're looking at God's word, you got to look at the stipulation that goes with the promise. Every promise in the Bible has a stipulation with it. In other words, if you do this, I'll do that kind of thing. Amen? In other words, we can't even get born again unless we ask, right? We can't get born again until we repent. So we got to repent or confess our sin. Then he says, if you do that, I'll save you. And we're going to cover that 1 John 1 and 9 later on. So he says here, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desire of your heart. Then verse 5 says, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Trust in him. Trust in him. Now, turn to Romans chapter 10. Grab that little Bible. Let's use the little blue Bible for this. The little Bible, yes, the little blue one. Turn to Romans chapter 10 with me, and I'll tell you why. Why I want you to use that one. It is the New King James Version, and it reads a little better. Not better, a little easier. I'm from South Georgia, and we didn't speak like that where I come from. Walk up down there and say, how art thou? They'd know you're not from around there nowhere. Say, how y'all doing? That's a different story. Romans chapter 10. What page is that, somebody? 120. Okay. Romans 10, of course, Romans is written by the Apostle Paul. Remember, we're talking about what the desire of the heart is. Well, look what he says in the very first sentence of this very first verse of the 10th chapter of Romans. He said, brethren, who's he talking to? Brethren, talking about Christians, right? He's talking to other Christians. He said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. Now, let's put that in our language. I'm a born-again Christian truck driver, okay? I should say, my heart's desire and my prayer is that truckers be saved. Paul was ministering in Israel, so he said, the people I'm trying to reach, my desire is that they get born again. Now, let's tie that back to what we read in Psalm 37 now. He said, if we delight ourselves in the Lord, he'll give us the desires of our heart. All right? Now, you can't be delighting yourself in the Lord if your motive is more stuff and more money and all that. Now, he says here, Paul says his desire is that people get saved. If our desire is that our fellow men, in our case truck drivers, get saved, he's going to give us the desire of our heart. Because doing that, we're delighting ourselves in the Lord instead of seeking self, the stuff. That makes sense? That makes sense? In other words, now we go back to the table of God, so to speak. We go back in there to present our desire of our heart to him. Now that we've started delighting ourselves in him, being trying to minister to other people. And by the way, every born-again Christian is a minister. Hello? I've had drivers say, I'm not a preacher. I say, oh yeah, who told you that? Take the P off the front. What does that mean? What does that leave? Reacher. Every born-again Christian is a reacher. You reach people, I never will. What do you pull, a flatbed, van, reefer? Reefer? What do you pull?
Box. Dry box?
Reefer? Reefer. All right, see, you got dry box and reefer here. Y'all don't go to the same docks. No. Right? So you reach an entirely different group of people. Yeah. See what I'm saying? God ordained you, called you, and you're ordained by God if you're born again, okay? You're ordained, commissioned by him. I can show you that in Matthew 11. You are commissioned. You don't need man's approval. You don't need man's approval. I was in a high society religious meeting one day, many years ago. I got my pastor ordained me in 1980, and I was very proud of that. I'm very thankful that my pastor then, Dr. Brian Lee, would see fit to ordain me. It was his idea. Now, I didn't go ask him to. He saw that in me. He saw this coming somehow. I didn't. Believe me, I didn't. I'd have probably been like Jonah and took my chances with the fish, you know, ran the other way. But he ordained me, see, and he saw God doing a work in my life. And this was, and of course, I'm still learning, okay, still growing, still learning. But he was the one that taught me how to love people. He taught me about the love of God. Instead of being critical, let's love one another, right? And he talked about how I was a truck driver, the owner-operator. One in our logo was the one I owned back then. Had my own truck and trailer when I was running out to Texas, bringing them swinging go-go girls back, you know. Left to get with the four-wheelers on the CB, and I tell them I got swinging go-go girls on board. You got what? Of course, a go-go girl is a cow. You know that, okay. Let's make sure that gets on tape. Anyway, I don't know where I was going with that. The desire of our heart should be to do God's work. In other words, and that in itself is delighting ourselves in the Lord. Now, if we can say like the Apostle Paul here, that my heart's desire and prayer to God for the truckers is that they may be saved. Verse 2 of chapter 10 says, "For I bear witness that they have a zeal for God." Boy, how much religion you run up with out on the road. Amen? I mean, really. They mean well. People mean well. They're really seeking after God. But now look at this. It says in verse 3, it said, well, verse 2 again. "For I bear witness, them witness, that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness have not submitted to the righteousness of God." Now, what does all that mean? Exactly. Exactly. They're in their own way. There was a song years ago that said, "Me and Jesus got our own thing going." And we thought that was great. Thought that was funny. No. No, no. You and Jesus hadn't got your own thing going. Jesus and the Word was going. You hang on to that. Now, I don't know that whole story, but that became an excuse. People would come to me with an excuse to say, "Well, me and God got our thing going. Are you born again?" No. I said, "Then you and God ain't got nothing going." All right? That's like me walking into your daddy's estate and claiming my part. Your family say, "Who do you think you are?" Right? You have no right to this, right? And I wouldn't have. But my father, God Almighty, has adopted me as his son and gave me right to everything he's got. Again, though, there's stipulations with all that. As long as my priorities are straight. And by the way, I learned something that's very interesting to me. It don't even make sense, but it works. If you quit chasing stuff, it'll start chasing you. The blessings of God will actually chase you. Now, when I say blessing of God, my bank account isn't that big. Don't need it. There's always enough. That's right. You just give it, as you said. As she said, you just give it to him. What's that country song, "Just Give It Away"? There's some scripture. I know he's not talking about that. But if you just give it away, give your life away, give it to God. We have a man that's one of our chaplains that gave away so much money, and I won't say who he is or anything. He was giving away so much money, he was in upper level management with a major corporation at one time, okay? So he made big money. And he gave so much away that a cousin and his wife was going to get him to the doctor to see what was wrong with him. Well, the more he gave away, the more the Lord gave him. So the more he got, the more he gave away. The more he gave away, the more he got, you know. It turned into a cycle. For he himself, he didn't care where he had anything or not, because he's automatically covered in all that. You follow me? Back to our thought. Delighting ourselves in the Lord. What is the desire of my heart? Once I get my desire of my heart from focusing on me and my needs or my wants and start focusing on God and His will, He's automatically going to take care of me. We bought a place. I won't bore you with the whole details, but the place where I live right now. The real estate agent said, somebody's looking out for you. And I said, well, I like to think that myself. Somebody hid this for you. Bought it out of foreclosure. Nobody bid against me. Until they accepted our offer that, you know, we prayed about it. The Lord gave me a number. I offered it. I was a little bit hesitant to even offer it. It was so ridiculous. She called me back one day. She said, they've accepted your offer. And I said, really? And she said, yes. I said, where are you at right now? She said, close to my office. I'll meet you there. I'm going to give you some money. We're going to sign a contract right now before they change their mind, right? She said, the minute they accepted your offer, my phone started ringing off the wall. She said, somebody's looking out for you. And I said, I like to think so myself. But now see, if the motive of my heart was to get this place, you know, if I was just got to have this thing or stuff or place, and it's not fancy, it's just pretty to me. It's out in the country. Got a double-wide mobile home on it and a 2.5-acre fish pond on it and just the things I wanted, you know. Just to you, you say, I wouldn't even live there. Well, that makes me happy because you won't take it. But, you know, the Lord knew the desire of my heart, all right? My number one desire is to follow Him, but He also knew I'd really like to have that. You know what I'm saying? It ain't a big deal, but I'd really like to have that. Well, I could cite you stories that would bore you stiff, probably, of things that happened in our life that God just intervened, and it's called God's favor. God's favor. I got the regular run with my truck both ways, loaded out with Edwards pies out of Atlanta, loaded Swift meat back. That was when that load each way was called in to booking, my trailer number was put on it. I had my own truck and trailer, so they put my trailer number on the load. It never went to dispatch. It was never offered to anybody else. And I'm bragging, I'm just saying God can do that. One truck, one trailer, one driver, right? And the company whining and dining people trying to get this load. In fact, God gave me such favor with this company out of Texas, Swift Meat Company is who it was. The carrier started asking me to get them loads. Same people said, I'll see that you don't get a regular run. And the man that told me that, I said, well, Ron, I know somebody just a little above your head. And I meant God. He slammed the phone down. Blam, like broke my ear. In other words, my thought was, if God wants me to have that, all the demons in hell can't stop it. Amen? All I got to do is say, God, is that what you want? Is that what your will is? And again, what is the desire of my heart? My heart's desire is to follow God and please God. And all these things, in fact, turn to Matthew 6:33. We'll do that. Where? Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And by the way, we're reading out a new King James. If you want an old King James tape with you, I've got plenty of those. We have both, and I want you to have a Bible in your truck, at least a New Testament. Matthew 6:33. Somebody find that and tell me the page number. Probably about 6 or 7. 43? Oh, no, that's Mark. Page 6. Page what? 6. I thought it was. Page 6, because I remember. Well, you're blessed. See, I have to wear mine all the time. Ain't nothing like waking up in the middle of the night trying to grab the phone and look at it, and I got to find my glasses first. Matthew 6:33 says what? Read it out loud, brother. Go ahead.
Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you.
Seek first what?
Did I just
say that? Seek what? God's?
Seek the kingdom of God.
Right. All right, now hold. Look right back now. Get on mine, it's the page before, but Matthew 6 and verse 8. Thank you, Lord. Matthew 6:8. Therefore, do not be like them. He's talking about the religious people. For your Father knows the things you need before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. In another place in the Bible, it says, pray like this. The Lord's Prayer. We all know that, right? How many times have we said that and didn't know it? I mean, didn't even mean it. But look what it says. It says, our Father in heaven, what? Hallowed be thy name, or hallowed be your name. That hallowed literally means most holy is your name. What do we do? Our prayer life should start out by praising God. Not a want list. I want this, I want that. And then he goes on to say, after he praised him a while, verse 10 says what? Your kingdom come, your will be done. Now, don't lie to God because he knows your heart. Okay? I just tell people, my boss watches me 24 hours a day. I can't get out of his sight. I hope I never get out of his sight. I don't want to. Amen? But now we know we've done a few things with the company that, you know, I can't with my company. That's scary when you think about it. But no, seriously. He's saying here, our prayer from our heart, our desire should be, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Narrow that down and say, your kingdom come, your will be done in my life like it is in heaven. His will is always done in heaven. It's not done on earth. It's not done on earth. You know why? Because we have a choice. He lets us choose. Amen? You didn't have to come in here. I thank God you did. You didn't have to come in. Nobody paid you. Nobody threatened you. Nobody, you know, you came because you wanted to. And I thank God for that. I thank God for you coming in here. But he gives us choices. And there's probably, there's 499 parking places here, to be exact. There's probably 525 trucks out there. But no, seriously, there's what? 4-6 drivers in here. There's 490 more out there. And I dare say that there's a whole lot of them out there that the Holy Spirit spoke to come in here. Now, whether or not they know who that is another story. But something, as we like to call it, something told me. Point is, they chose to say no and go do whatever. Not necessarily living in sin out there. They just said no to God. Okay? Law of averages would tell me that. But you said yes to that prompting inside, whatever you want to call it, the voice inside, which is the Holy Spirit speaking to us, right? But we always have that choice. And Jesus here, teaching his disciples how to pray, he said, you ought to start out by praising the Lord. Number two, saying, your kingdom come, your will be done. And then you know the rest of it. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debt as. Don't like that word as in there. In other words, if I don't forgive you, he won't forgive me. Just that simple. In fact, he brings that out in detail in verse 14. If you drop down there, he said, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours. Wow. That's pretty stiff, isn't it? That's pretty stiff. See, again, our desire of our heart comes into play. Do I really, really, really want God's blessing in my life? We all want it for the good part, right? But do we want to pay the price to get it? To get it. Many times in the infancy of this ministry, I've seen other ministers being blessed by the Lord. Obvious blessings. I mean, financial blessings and different things, you know. And I would think, God, Joe here, hey, yo, how about me? I mean, I'm serious. I said, don't bless him no more. He's got enough. Give me some. I had no idea what I was saying. The price that you pay. But now listen, the dividends is worth twice the price. Okay? Once you get over that, now, I know when you're looking at it, you know. But believe me, the price is worth, the dividends is worth more than what it costs. So in other words, if I could get the desire of my heart straight, get it in line with the Word of God, see, when I do that, I'm automatically going to tithe. Automatically. I'm going to give God not his 10%. Listen, that's a lousy tip. I would think about going in here and eating, and somebody served me well, you know, and disregard the food. That's not their responsibility. But I wouldn't think about just leaving that man or woman in there 10%. I wouldn't think about that. At least 20. Okay? But yet, I don't want to give God 10%. Duh, that don't make sense to me. But see now, if you looked at Joe Hunter before, I'd be saying those things. If I can't live on 90%, if I can't live off 100%, my logic was, if we can't make it off 100%, how do you think we're going to make it off of 90? I mean, that was my human thinking. This woman I married, her pocketbook got saved before mine did. We both got saved about the same time, but she had a given attitude. You know what I'm saying? And that's blessed me because I began to see what God was doing. And man, now we look for places to plant. We don't waste it. We don't give to everybody that comes along. We pray about it and ask God, do you want us to do that? I learned that from a truck driver. I asked Scotty, I said, because he always gave us cash money. He was a single man. And he would give us, I won't say how much, sometimes pretty good amount. And I said, Scotty, how do you tithe? He said, I don't. Yes, you do. Almost every week you hand me cash money. No, he said, I don't tithe. And he was Scotty, because he was Scottish. He had a heavy accent. I don't tithe. I said, explain yourself. He said, it all belongs to God. I asked him, how much can I have? Think about that. Not how much to give him. It's his. How much can I have? Wow. You're talking about a good attitude of the heart. He sends us out to witness to our fellow man. Everybody, every Christian is called to be a witness of some kind or another. You may be the kind to hand somebody a tract. You may be, talk to somebody. There's many ways of witnessing. Just show kindness. One of the ways, I stand at these doors as you saw me handing out the flyers. I like to watch people coming in and out the door. They meet somebody 3 steps behind them and they won't even hold the door. Let the door go shut in somebody's face. It's all about me, man. Right? That's the attitude. Now, I know there's sometimes we got to get to the powder room right away. I understand that. There's sometimes you ran about 100 miles further than you should have. I know that. But I'm talking about overall. And the desire of my heart should be to minister to people. Well, how do I do that? Sometimes just a random act of kindness. How about the receiver you're going to face probably tomorrow? You go in there, and he calls you everything but a truck driver. Been there and done that. My flesh wants to retaliate, right? But my spirit man says, love him. I say, I love him, all right. The Bible says, lay hands on the sick, and he looks sick to me. That's not what it means, by the way. In fact, the Bible tells us even to love our enemies, doesn't it? Now, that's going a bit far, but that's what he tells us. When we can get our heart's desire to these points, to where we can say, the desire of my heart is just to please God, then you're going to find him just pouring on the blessing. Like I say, stuff you kind of like to have, but no big deal. You just, here you go. You know what? It's his great desire, God's desire, to bless his people. And again, I'm not talking about big bank accounts. I always thought you had to make X amount of dollars to have certain items. You know what I mean? I wanted a dually pickup. Did I need one? Nah, not really. I don't get to drive a truck no more, and my little half-ton short wheelbase, when y'all go by and I'm looking about lug nut level, it's kind of intimidating, you know. But no, I just wanted a big pickup. I didn't tell nobody but God. I really didn't. A friend of mine had one for sale. Had $30,000 firm on the window. Well, I didn't think nothing about it. I ain't about to buy it. If I had $30,000, I wouldn't buy it. Okay, it ain't worth that to me. A couple of months later, he calls me and he says, does the ministry need this pickup? I said, well, sometime. But, you know, we got my half ton. I use it. Why? He said, I don't know. I can't sell it. I said, I don't know what to tell you. He says, would you give me $10,000 for it? That dually? Diesel? XLT diesel? Yeah, I said, you want cash check or money order? He said, why don't you just come on and get it? See, I didn't pray for that truck. I didn't ask him. I never talked to him about it. In fact, when we were together, we were talking about something entirely. Not once did we mention that vehicle. I just happened to see it in his yard with the sign on it for sale. In fact, when we left in the motorhome, I told my wife, I said, 30 grand for one pickup? I can buy a tractor and make money for $30,000. I mean, that's the way I'm thinking. But anyway, point is, God knew deep down inside, I really would like to have it. But since it wasn't a big deal, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what? All these things will be added. That does not mean now, don't misunderstand, that does not mean if we go out and start serving the Lord, we're going to get just anything we want. That is not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, when you get to that point serving the Lord, you really won't care about that stuff. Okay? If that hadn't happened, no big deal. No big deal. The Lord made me give up my half ton anyway, so traded it for my wife a car. But I don't understand these women. They'd rather have a car than a pickup truck. I just don't understand that at all. But no. What is the desire of your heart? What is the motive? Turn to John chapter 4. We'll close with this one. I went everywhere but what my notes said to do, so I hope something made sense along the way. Somebody find John 4:31 and tell me what page it's on. 101. 101. John 4. Let me preface this a little bit to save a little time. I won't read it all. This is right after. Anybody remember the story of Jesus meeting the Samaritan woman at the well? Remember that story? This is right after that. He had sent his disciples in the town to get something to eat. You remember that? It was a plan, divine plan of God, to get them out of the picture, because this woman was a Samaritan, and Jews and Samaritans didn't hang around together. You think we got racial issues today? Ain't nothing inside of that. Okay? Been going on since people was created, and it'll be going on when we're all gone. All right? Just get over that. Just get over that. Everybody ain't going to love you. Big deal. I really don't care. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords loves me. That's all that matters. I really don't care what you think. All right? I mean, now, not an arrogant attitude, but, you know, people say, you don't look like a preacher. I say, thank you. I try not to look like one. I try to act like one, but I don't want to look. What does one look like? What does a Christian look like, you know? Boy, some of them got bald head and more hair on his face than he's got on his head. He looked up. I mean, what does a Christian look like? What he looks like is his actions, his or her actions. That's a Christian. Amen? We're not too proud to bow our head at the table in a truck stop and give thanks. I do too. If you eat at a truck stop, you better pray over it. No, just kidding. In fact, let me give you a little something to do. We're already off subject anyway. When the waitress or waiter comes to your table to take your order, try this. And I look at their name. I try to read their name. Some of them, of course, I can't pronounce too good, but I'll say, ma'am or sir, we're about to say grace over a meal. We're about to pray. Is there anything in your life I could pray with you about? Now, you're talking about throwing somebody off. That's the last thing on earth they expected you to say. We're about to pray over our meal. Is there anything I could pray for you about? Now, that's ministry. That's ministry. She's probably had a bad day. Who knows who just left, right? Everybody's not as lovely as I am. I mean, as you are. All right, let's go back. Here's the setting. He has sent him into town to get some food. Samaritan woman come up. He ministered her. She went back into town. And the disciples have come back now. Here's where we're at, all right? In verse 20, let's go to verse 31. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat. Verse 32, but he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Verse 33, therefore the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him something to eat? In other words, while we were gone, perhaps somebody brought him something. Jesus said to them, verse 34, my food, now listen to this, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. What he's saying is, my desire is not to eat this food, but rather my desire is to finish the work he sent me to do. You got work to do. If you're born again, you got a job to do. What is it? You ask your Father. If you avail yourself, he'll use you. Guarantee you that. If nothing else, to say good morning to somebody in the morning that needs it. Get up and say, good morning, Lord. Somebody will get up and say, good Lord, morning. You know? Can't wait to see what happens tomorrow. I got to play in Atlanta traffic in the morning, so I'm really looking forward to that. I got an appointment downtown Atlanta in the morning. I mean, I toyed with finding a motel tonight and just stay. But no, seriously, there'll be a blessing, and I got this from my wife. I hate to admit it, but we have this smart aleck pastor that says, when you get caught in traffic, good time to praise the Lord. He just don't understand. I'm fuming. No. But he's right. First of all, you ain't going nowhere. Right? So, we just need to finish the work that he called us to do. Verse 35. Do not say there are still 4 months and then come to harvest? Behold, I say to you, Lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they're already white for harvest. Mr. and Ms. Trucker, you look out at this parking lot or any truck stop parking lot, you're going to see a field white under harvest. What does that mean? That means that there's a lot of people here that need Jesus. And they're waiting for you and I just to offer a kind word. Now, some of them may cuss you out. I've been called a lot more things than truck driver. In fact, I thought CB meant Christian Broadcasting. Big Uncle taught me that. I got his radio. He's in heaven right now. Got his Connex 33 in the motorhome right now. If I want to speak, I will. I don't get on the radio and preach. Don't believe in doing that. Don't key the mic and play gospel music. Don't do that. But if you use my Father's name, you just invited me in the conversation. Okay? A simple statement like, God's last name is not damn. That's right. That's not preaching. I'm just making a statement. But that usually starts World War III or a good time of fellowship or both. But I have the option not to say nothing. Turn my radio off. I can't do that. I'm sorry. I'm a bucket mouth from way back yonder. I just flat can't bring myself to do that. There's too much opportunity. As Jerry Clower says, shoot up here amongst us. One of us will get some relief, you know. I want to just jump in there, you know. Not being ugly, not criticizing, not condemning. The desire of my heart is that the truckers be born again. But for the grace of God, I would be on that side of the fence, so to speak, instead of where I'm at, and so will you. Right? There was a day you wasn't born again. There was a day that you didn't care. There was a day that you were selfish. Unless you're born again, you're selfish. I mean, you know, maybe not to degree some people, but you're selfish. You're holding yourself back from God. You love yourself more than God. Hello. And He holds eternity in His hand. I want to serve Him. What is the desire of your heart tonight, Mr. and Ms. Trucker? What is the real desire of our heart? Is it to serve the Lord or to see what I can get out of this life? All right, that can happen tonight. That can happen right now. She said her desire was to go back to the Lord where she used to be. See, she just confessed with her mouth a need, a desire in her heart. That's her desire. And God's going to honor that, ma'am. I really believe that. You just ain't going to believe what God's going to do in your life. I believe that. But now we got to be willing. We got to be willing. Is this your husband?
My fiance.
Fiance. Now, see, we got to pray that the Lord bring y'all into like mind, right? We don't know where you are with the Lord. Now, I'm not going to ask you in front of everybody, but that's something you think about. Because you can't get married, one of you Christian and one not. That won't never work. Believe me. But what is the desire of our heart tonight? If your desire is, what she said, to come back to Christ or to go to Christ, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 tells us what we need to do. And it simply says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us or purify us from all unrighteousness. All we got to do is say, Lord, forgive me. Well, that's too easy. That's how easy it is. There's a track that might be back there called God's Simple Plan of Salvation. It's so simple that the world stumbles over it. He said, all you need to do is ask. I want to close with a prayer. I want you to pray with me. I want everybody in the room to pray this prayer. You say, I don't need it. I'm already a Christian. You're right. That's fine. But in case there's somebody in here that needs to confess to God, we're going to pray it together. Is that all right? Pray with your heads up and eyes open. Because God's looking around, he's the only one that counts. We can't hide from him. Amen? If there's something in your life that should not be, you don't have to tell me about it. You know what it is. God's already revealed it to you. Then that's what we're confessing. We don't have to itemize it. We don't have to name it. God knows what it is. And you've already mentioned it in your mind just thinking. And God's going to forgive you right now. And repent, by the way, means turn around. It means to go the other way. Stop doing whatever it is immediately. And God will give us the power and the ability to do that. You can't do that on your own. But he'll help you. All right? You say, I'm not interested. I don't want to be a Christian. Well, go ahead and pray it with us anyway. It's not going to, it won't affect you at all. If you don't mean it, it won't do nothing. Got to be from the heart. Not lip service, but from the heart. All right? Would you pray this with me? Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I ask you, Lord, to forgive my sins. Come into my heart and help me to be the kind of Christian that you want me to be. My desire is to serve you. Help me make my desire to be your desire for my life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me and delivering me. Amen. Now, according to, if you meant that, time will tell. I'm not going to be around to check you. God is. So if you meant that, according to the Word of God, you are totally set free right now.